In the hour that follows, the Columbia Broadcasting System will present from New York the sixth in a series of 12 proposed new programs entitled Forecast. Forecast, 12 radio first nights, each performance the keystone of a possible series. Forecast, Columbia's answer to the question, what's new in radio? Forecast, 12 new shows earmarked for future reference.
Forecast number 6 from New York, Song Without End, a proposed new series of the lives and loves and dreams of the composers. As a representative forecast of such a series, we have chosen to play for you tonight the story of Claude Achille Debussy, who dealt in dreams and fantasies, and who was the leader in the new impressionist movement in music. As Claude Debussy, we are proud to have with us the distinguished actor of stage and screen, Mr. Burgess Meredith. Margot will lend us charm and wistfulness from her talents as the heroine of Debussy's love story. The music will be drawn entirely from the works of the great Frenchman, with Howard Barlow conducting the Columbia Symphony Orchestra.
Department is the producer and director of Song Without End. And before we bring you the drama and the music of W.C., Mr. Spear would like to tell you what this is all about.
Nobody is born into the world hating good music. But because the word has gotten around that music is good for you and is a necessary part of your education, many of us have come up through the age of consent and well beyond it with a spinach-like connotation in our minds when words like symphony, concerto, tone poem, sonata, and the like are mentioned. Spinach, of course, does not taste any good at all, and you were right when you thought it didn't. But music does taste good, and it's too bad if anyone ever made you think it didn't. In good music itself, and in the lives and dreams and loves and adventures of the men who have created it, there is drama and mystery, and romance and tragedy, and good humor, just as potent and satisfying as these same things in a novel, a play, or a movie. Song Without End is an adventure in radio, destined, we hope, to prove it. Music and perfume are probably the two most powerful implements which open up the wellsprings of memory. Your immediate surroundings and the pages of the years vanish in a puff of smoke before them. Our design in Song Without End is to give to you the scenes which will become the memories of this music as you hear it again in the time to come. And to the lives of the men of music, both the actual lives they lived and the thousands of other lives each of them lived, which are told in 16th notes and 8th notes and bar signs and rests, we have turned in Song Without End for our plots. Franz Schubert, starving out his life in a Vienna garret, most spontaneous melody maker the world has ever seen, pouring out music faster than his pen could scratch it out. An ugly, wretched, loveless man, dead at 31 years of age. Jan Sibelius, muscular, hardy, making music out of the forests and the lakes and the soil and the myths and the legends of Finland. Chopin, Stephen Foster, Rimsky-Korsakov, a naval officer turned composer. Johann Sebastian Bach, turning out music for church, flattering Frederick the Great, bringing up 20 children. George Gershwin, and a song without end of a great city. Modest Mussorgsky, greatest composer Russia has ever had. A government official under Alexander II. Franz Liszt, Hungarian rhapsodist, great lover, great pianist, great-hearted discoverer of other people's talents. Priest in the Vatican, charlatan, father-in-law of Richard Wagner. Handel, Bizet, Ravel. Smetana, a man who wrote the happiest music possible, and died in an insane asylum. Beethoven. If Song Without End were to become a series, you would certainly meet Beethoven. You'd meet him in many places, in many moods. You'd meet him certainly on the summer day he walked the woods at Döbling and walked into silence.
I left Vienna. I went to the village of Döbling. There, sitting beside the Danube, walking in the forest, I reclaimed my soul again. I made friends with a shepherd who used to play the pipes in the afternoon. I liked to listen to him. And it was one day while I was listening that I knew my destiny. The sound receded farther and farther away. I sat closer to the shepherd. I asked him to shout for me. Before I saw his eyes, I knew the answer. I walked away from him into silence. Silence for me, Ludwig von Beethoven, whose life had been measured in sounds. I could not believe it. No, I would not believe it. I went home. I sat down at the piano. I laid my hands on the keys, afraid to press them. There was no sound in the room but the beating of my heart. I touched the keys gently, then louder, 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 pounding, pounding, straining desperately. There could be no silence for me. God would not do this. I would hear. I must hear. You up there. Give me a sound. One sound. One sound. Finally, I rose. I closed the piano. I never heard it again. I never heard the pipes again. I never heard the river. There were no voices for me, but the voices of the past. And no music, but that which was locked inside of me.
Ludwig von Beethoven. 1770 to 1827, standing colossus-like at the gateways between the old music and the new, tearing the symphony to pieces and remaking it in his own image. A man who could shake his fist at the destiny which robbed him of the power to know his own music, and a man who never recovered from the hurt of loving a woman who laughed at him. From Beethoven to Stravinsky, from a card filed away among the records of paupers who died in New York's Bellevue Hospital reading Stephen Collins Foster, to a letter written from St. Petersburg in the Russia of 1872 by a wealthy widow to a beloved friend.
Beloved friend, I have just had your letter, and I thank you with all my heart, my dear, incomparable friend, for your sincerity and frankness. Those very qualities are what I love so much in you. The most precious thing in our relationship is that I believe in you. I love you more than anyone else. I value you above everything in the world. If this knowledge bothers you, forgive me. I have spoken out. The reason is your symphony.
Yes, you know all about Nadezhda von Meck and how Tchaikovsky and she never met, despite her great influence upon his work. But do you know Tchaikovsky on his working days?
Piotr Ilyich, all day yesterday, all day today, you have eaten nothing. What is wrong with you?
I have to work. Can't you understand that? I have to work. Now, take your tea and black bread and get out of here. When I want food, I'll ask...
Work, work, always work. I don't see you working. Look at this manuscript paper, blank, absolutely nothing on it. For 2 days, you have been working another note, not one note.
Get out and let me have some peace. Get out!
Sitting there all day, wasting time, doing nothing, absolutely.
Women, always nagging about something. Never content to let a man work in his own way. You have to have quiet to work. How about let me see? Oh, no, it's no good. It's not right. Shut up! Take your confounded whistling someplace else!
Vajni Krukinin Yunklem Zlodja!
Oh, stop it, quiet! Just because you're plastering the house doesn't mean you have to whistle at it! Oh, how can a man be expected to work with... I'll go out and walk in the woods. That's rather nice. The folk song, undoubtedly. Yes. Yes, it would fit the mood. Louder! Whistle louder! I want to get that down.
Blege Dervishnikov, dai ya yunknem stolge.
Whistle, you fool! Whistle!
Arashinishni bles! Da, 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 da! Dutch Vertunin, this was got now, isn't it? Vyorga!
Another singer of songs without end, Pyotr Ilyich Tchaikovsky, 1840-1893. Franz Joseph Haydn, a Benjamin Franklin-like gentleman from Croatia, Papa Haydn, writing symphonies by the gross and playing pranks, and marrying for love and writing the Austrian national anthem, Gounod and Faust, Pietro Mascagni buying an alarm clock so that he'll be up early enough in the morning to begin work on a one-act opera called Cavalleria Rusticana, Paderewski in Poland, and two London gentlemen, of sorts and out of sorts, as follows.
Good morning, Mr. Sullivan. Wonderful morning, isn't it?
I fail to see anything precisely wonderful about it. Foggy's quite beastly.
Is it foggy? Oh, so it is. I didn't notice. Arthur, I've written a very decent new lyric for the Major General. Very decent indeed. Oh. I'm putting it together all the way over here. Listen, I am the very model of a modern Major General. I've information vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England, and I quote the fights historical from Marathon to Waterloo in order categorical. I'm very well acquainted, too, with matters mathematical. I understand equations both the simple and quadratical. About binomial theorem, I'm teeming with a lot of news. Lot of new. I'm stuck for a rhyme there. I'll get one, though.
Oh, never mind a rhyme. I can't stand the silly thing.
What the dickens do you mean?
Well, it's a lot of ridiculous nonsense. It doesn't make sense.
Makes perfect sense, Mr. Sullivan. I am the very model of a modern Major General. I've information vegetable, animal, and mineral.
You know, I've been thinking we should write something with more dignity. I don't have a chance for these trivial lyrics of yours.
Trivial? It's those same trivial lyrics that bring people to all our plays.
Mr. Gilbert, the music has its part in the scheme of things, too.
What? Music is nothing but accompaniment to the words. The words tell the story.
Yes, but people go away humming the music, don't they? Where would your lyrics be without my music?
My lyrics can do without your beastly music. If you don't care to build music for them,
Mr.
why don't you...
Mr. Gilbert, I am not a tunesmith, sir. I am a composer.
And I am an author.
There are other authors, Mr. Gilbert, with as much, if not more, talent and less conceit.
Mr. Sullivan, I suggest we consider this collaboration terminated. Where's my hat?
I'm sitting on it.
Then I'll take yours. Although I don't doubt it'll be a few sizes too big for me.
Good day, Mr. Gilbert.
Good day, Mr. Sullivan.
Mr. Gilbert.
Yes, Mr. Sullivan?
As a parting gesture, if you're stuck for a rhyme for lot of news, I happen to know a rather good one.
you should have.
Yes. Hypotenuse. The square of the hypotenuse.
About binomial theorem, I'm teeming with a lot of news. With many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse, by Jove.
Yes, and I also happen to know a rather good tune.
Try it again.
Uh-huh.
I am the very model of a modern major general. I've information vegetable, animal, and mineral.
In short, it matters vegetable, animal, and mineral. He is the very model of a modern major general.
In this unending call of songs without end, the echoes are made of music that is alive and fresh this year and next, just as it was last year and the year before. George Frederick Handel speaking out to us today with great English music, music of the blood and soul British. The same Georg Friedrich Handel who was brought across the North Sea to Buckingham Palace by his master, the Hanoverian King George II. The two of them Germans to the core, unable to speak more than a few words of the King's English. But music, the best of it, has no nationality. There are no borders and treaty boundaries to a man's mind. Two Frenchmen, Ravel and Debussy, have written greater Spanish music than the Spaniards. Rimsky-Korsakov, a Russian who had never been there, gave us Scheherazade's Warm Orient and closed his windows to keep the snow from blotting his manuscript paper. A bearded foreigner came to the American state called Iowa and listened for music that was American. Symphony from the New World. Music that Antonin Dvorak heard in the middle of America. Symphony from the swamps and savannas, from the canebrakes, from the forests of the Northwest and the forests of smokestacks, blotting the horizons of the East. In Iowa, the land is open and the horizon far. And from Iowa comes the music of Dvorak, a salute to the New World from a master of the old. Who in the world never heard of P.T. Barnum? And who will deny his position in this series who remembers Jenny Lind?
I tell you, Miss Lind, you'll never forget this. I'll make you the most famous singer in the world. Oh, I won't deny that you have something of a reputation already. But when P.T. Barnum gets through with you, you'll have arrived.
You are most kind, Mr. Barnum.
I'm going to put 100 elephants behind you. 100 elephants. No singer in the world ever had a background like that.
Elephants?
You can wear tights if you want to. Best tights money can buy. People will come from miles around to see you.
Mr. Barnum, I'm a singer, not an acrobat.
You can ride into the tent behind 20 white horses. We'll put the whole circus behind you. You'll be sensational.
Mr. Barnum, I will require only a small platform with perhaps some flowers.
Miss Lind.
I have my own wardrobe to appear in.
No tights?
No tights. And no horses.
No horses?
And no elephants.
Not even one elephant?
No elephants at all.
People will think I've lost my mind. I'm beginning to think so myself. Not one elephant.
Singers of songs will be heard, too, in Song Without End. Jenny Lind and Enrico Caruso and Fyodor Shalyapin and Emma Calvey and Ernestine Schumannheim. The dramatic men of the bow and the keyboard, too. Paganini and Rubinstein, Liszt and Paderewski, Sergei Rachmaninoff. But most of them will be the men who created the music for others to sing and play. You'll meet them and know them through their best and their worst days. You'll see some of them almost miss out on music entirely, like Alexander Borodin, the chemist, who wrote Prince Igor between experiments, and George Gershwin, who was forbidden to compose, and the young man who came to the Milan Academy of Music one day.
Oh, I sent you some music last week. I was hoping to come here to study.
Ah, yes, of course. We are sorry to disappoint you, but the judges have rejected your application. Frankly, you do not have the grade of talent we require at the conservatory.
Oh, I see. Well, perhaps I could try again. You see, I want to write music very much.
Why don't you try some other field? We found no hope in your music at all. You will never make a composer. It's impossible, impossible.
I do so hope...
We're sorry, too.
But I... Oh, very well.
A great pity. The boy was so disappointed.
Well, it's better for him to find it out when he's young. Which card is his? I'll file it away.
Here it is. Verdi. Giuseppe Verdi.
It's time this prologue were finished. And so now, gentle listener, we're ready for the play itself. We ask you to project yourself forecast-wise into the near future, to a night not too distant, perhaps, for a broadcast of Song Without End, which will come to you exactly as it would in a regular weekly series. So, if your station will kindly identify itself according to custom, we shall then ring up the curtain on the sample broadcast we have chosen. Reverie, the story of Claude Debussy.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Song Without End, a rhapsody on the lives, loves, and dreams of the men of music. Tonight's Song Without End is Reverie, starring the distinguished actor of stage and screen, Burgess Meredith, as Claude Debussy, with Margot co-starring as Gabrielle Dupont. In this torn poem of words and music, the words are by Gene Holloway, and the music is drawn entirely from the works of the great French composer, with Howard Barlow conducting the Columbia Broadcasting Symphony. Reverie, a music drama from Song Without End.
Paris, March 25th, 1918. Which has yet occurred. And at the time this newspaper went to press, complete details were not yet available as to the exact number of victims. It was the second day that Paris has been so intensively bombed. The shell from Big Bertha, which destroyed the church of Saint-Gervais, narrowly missed a small funeral cortege proceeding in the rain across Paris on the way to the Père Lachaise Cemetery. It was said that the cortege was that of one of France's most distinguished and best known musicians, Claude Debussy.
Blow over me, winds. Rains wash me clean of sorrow. Let me hear once more music of the living. For this is my last ride through Paris. My last ride. No more will I walk through the shaded bois. No more will I draw music from the waters of the Seine. No more will I drink red wine and all the texture of living things. Earth, glass, lips, a woman's hand. No, I shall be part of the earth and the mists, the stars, and eternity. The wind and the rain are my pallbearers, and Paris walks beside me, hiding her tears in her long, loose hair. Oh, you've heard that before. You'll hear it again, Paris. Would-be conquerors shaking their iron fists, roaring behind their cannons. Let them have their small conceits. Eternity will soon forget them. But what should I say to you, Paris? Shall I say that you were my first love? Shall I tell you that you were a woman to me with stars in your hair and the Seine wound scarf-wise about your shoulders? Shall I tell you that in your arms I knew my first dreams of music? Music of spring in the streets of Paris. Spring walking into Paris on damp, cold feet.
The night music was played at the conservatory. Hall was full of springtime, bird songs, scent of flowers, fern and mosses, precious spring.
My young friends, I am sure you're all anxious to congratulate your talented fellow students. Perhaps in time to come you will say to yourselves, on June 27th, 1884, I heard the first performance of the first outstanding music of Claude d'Achille Debussy. Monsieur Debussy.
Thank you, sir, and all of you. I can't tell you how exciting this evening has been.
Claude, I think your friends would be interested in hearing about your harmonic method.
My method, sir? I don't...
Yes, your frequent use of the ninth chord, the indefinite tonality. These hallowed old walls of the Conservatory of Paris are, frankly, a little shocked by some of your effects.
Well, sir, I was only making music from things that I feel when someone says the word springtime to me. You see, possibly I hear a different springtime than others would.
A very different springtime, Claude, I'm sure. Perhaps you will tell us why you employ dissonant chords in certain passages of this piece.
I'm not aware of any dissonance, sir. As a matter of fact, sometimes I'm not sure that I believe there is such a thing as dissonance.
Come, come, sir. Gentlemen, our young Monsieur Debussy is having a smile at our expense, I believe.
Oh, no, sir. No, sir. But if music can be made to translate our dreams, the most beautiful things we are capable of imagining...
It's worth upsetting all our despicable rules and regulations. I think not, Claude. You must never forget the importance of form in music. Be on your guard.
Form? I have form, sir. But I was trying to capture a mood that filled my imagination, to paint a picture with music to...
Most interesting. But I'm sure a discussion of technique, of structure, would be more helpful. Well, have you nothing at all to say that will interest us in this way?
No, I'm afraid I have nothing at all to say that will interest you. Come in, come in.
There he sits, Monsieur Claude Achille Debussy, the greatest composer in all Paris.
What do you mean, Paris? The greatest composer of all France.
Oh. You mean France, gentlemen, the greatest composer in the world.
Oh, here, here.
Well, Claude, we have come to kidnap you, if you will not join us peaceably.
Well, I'd like to join you. I have to work.
Oh, you haven't been out with us since you came back from Rome.
Ah, perhaps Monsieur is upstaging us. What do you think, Edouard?
Monsieur Debussy, I am from the Paris Journal. We have it from very reliable source that you are avoiding your friends at the conservatory. Will you make a statement?
Very well. Gentlemen of the press. Yeah! Gentlemen, I protest.
Silence! Oh, we are vanquished. No one can hold out against that. Uh-huh.
Come on, get your hat, Claude. You shall have first pick of the league.
No, I'm sorry. I should like to go, but I want to finish this.
What are you working on? Hmm? What's this here with a flute solo at the beginning? Afternoon of a Form. Mm-hmm. Let's hear a little, Claude.
Well.
What key are we in? I...
You like it? Remind you of anything?
C-sharp minor arpeggio resolving to a B-flat seven.
Do you see anything? I asked. Pictures, I mean.
Strange. Doesn't have much melody. Come on out with this, Claude. It'll do you good.
Melody, can't you understand that I'm painting a picture? Shepherd flute. Fawn awakens. Here we have water in the tree. Whole forest of trees. Can't you visualize it? This fawn in his summer afternoon.
What a fawn is an imaginary creature. I never saw one.
Neither have I. I never will. The whole point, Jean, the unanswered things are the most beautiful in art.
One must be able to see through, to see and hear the things which are beyond reality. The sights and the sounds which I can't say.
In what form will you...
Form?
Yes, what form will you use for the poem? Sonata, perhaps?
No, or, only a prelude for orchestra.
A prelude?
Yes.
A short prelude in the Chopin manner?
No, a long prelude in the Debussy manner.
Hello, Pierre.
You have not been around to my cafe for some time now. What will it be, cognac?
Cognac. Will do, please.
Ah, you look tired.
Yes.
You have been working too hard, huh?
I have, Pierre, do you like my music?
Oh, I almost forgot. I have something to show you.
Yes?
Look.
A new piano. You're rich, Pierre.
Oh, somebody owed me a bill.
I see.
Ah, good evening, mademoiselle. Perhaps I should say a very damp evening. Let me sit outside.
Yes, it is.
Certainly, mademoiselle. Why don't you try my new piano, Monsieur Debussy?
You'd like to, Pierre, if mademoiselle does not mind.
Of course not.
Thank you.
What are you playing?
What do you think it is?
I don't know exactly. I'm afraid I don't know very much about music, but it makes you think of the forest and the wind and all...
Forest? What did you say?
I know it sounds foolish, but why are you staring at me like that? Have I said something wrong?
Of course not. We have some cognac with... Pierre! Pierre, bring us some cognac! Sit down. There, where I can look at you. What's your name?
Gabrielle.
Gabrielle?
Are you a musician?
I... Something like that.
What was that music you were playing?
Something I was working on.
It's very lovely. Would you play some more?
If you like.
But this is something different.
Ah, yes. This is something different. This says, Gabrielle, I love you.
You're crazy.
I never told a woman that in my life before.
You're the strangest man I've ever met.
Gabrielle, this. What does this music say to you?
I don't know. I must
what
go.
What does it say to you, Gabrielle?
It's moonlight. Moonlight and mist.
Yes. It's more than that. It's a love song, Gabrielle. Your love song. I wrote this for you years ago. This is moonlight on your hair. Night winds crying your name. This is flame singing through you. Tears melting your heart.
It's beautiful. Very beautiful. And so unreal.
Oh, it is real. As real as forests that talk to themselves. Water that sings. As real as your lips.
Your
hair. What? To cognac, yes. We must drink to the future. Gabriel, to us. Very strange how music can quicken an old sorrow. How the cadences of a silent name can still play across your heart. Gabriel, slanting green eyes looking up at me, lips curved to a promise. Laughter I would never forget. Circe with salt spray on her lips, poetry on her heart, witch, enchantress, dryad, sorceress, Gabrielle.
Hello, darling.
You realize, mademoiselle, that you are almost 5 minutes late.
I'm sorry, but I had an argument with a gendarme. He was angry with me for running across the street.
Was he handsome?
Oh, very, very handsome. But I told him that I was going to make tea for the most wonderful man in the world, and so he let me go.
If he detained you another moment, I would have felt compelled to deal severely with him. This time, however, I'll let him off. Because, Gabrielle, I wrote a song while I was waiting for you.
Oh, indeed. And then perhaps I should have been even later. Oh, look at the fireworks. Aren't they wonderful? Blue and yellow and red and green. Oh, Claude, it's a splendid carnival, isn't it?
Yes, let's hear the pretty lady's fortune. Come here.
Lady's hand.
No.
Let her tell the fortune, darling.
No. I don't want to know the future. Let's go ride on the carousel again. Come on, Claude.
Sorry, old woman. We'll be back for the future some other time. Gabrielle, I want to know absolutely everything there is to know about you. Who is your first beau? What is your favorite color? What's your greatest wish above all others?
My first beau was 17 feet tall, had a mustache a yard long, and defeated Napoleon's army single-handed.
Oh!
My favorite color is champagne.
And your greatest wish?
That this hour would last forever. Look at the sea, Claude.
Yes.
It stretches from here to eternity, doesn't it? It makes you feel like praying.
What would you pray for, Gabrielle? What would you ask of the sea?
I would say, let me remember always how once I stood by the sea when I was young. Let me never forget his eyes. Let me never forget our footsteps, how they went back across the sands to the ends of the world, and how alone we were.
Gabrielle, look at me. Now say that you love me and you'll never leave me. Say it.
Of course I love you. Look at the sea, Claude. If I were a composer, I would make music of the sea.
Gabrielle, say that you'll never leave me.
My grandmother used to say, never make promises. The gods don't like promises.
Gabrielle!
Race me to the cove. Come on.
Gabrielle, wait!
The greatest music I've ever heard.
Gabrielle, listen to this. I call it Gardens in the Rain.
Someday you must write the music of the sea.
Gabrielle, my manuscript paper, Helios and Melisande, is almost finished.
Oh, my darling, there's no one in the world like you.
Stand there by the piano and listen. Listen, Gabrielle.
Where's my good evening kiss?
What? Oh, in a second, Gabrielle. Listen to me.
Do you love me, Claude?
What? Yes, of course. I love you. You like this feeling, Gabrielle? Listen to my music. My music, Gabrielle! You can't go. You can't. You don't know what you're saying.
Claude. It's no use.
I don't understand. What have I done? What have I said?
Nothing at all.
But I love you. Don't you believe that?
Yes. I believe.
Then why in heaven's name?
Who can explain the whys and wherefores when something has ended? It's just ended, that's all.
You never loved me, did you? Did you? You knew that I loved and needed you and you came to me, but you never loved me, did you? Did you?
All that I know of love I learned from you.
Gabrielle, I can't lose you and I won't lose
You've
you.
You've already lost me, Claude. Can't you understand? It's over, that's all. Everything ends one
it's
day or
over.
Another.
I won't let it be over.
You said once for me, Nick, that it was the beginning of a love song. Well, Claude, now the song has ended. Isn't it better this way? Isn't it better to finish while it's still beautiful?
No, I won't have this way of talking, Gabrielle. Why? There must be a reason.
How can you ask reason of me, you who have shunned all reason? You don't want reality. You want the pain of the knife wound without seeing the knife. You want the life of a kiss without seeing the woman. You want the sweep of music without seeing the notes. You have no right to ask reason of anyone.
Ask it of you.
Very well. I'm leaving you because now I am young and able to master sorrow. And I'm afraid that if I stay, a day will come when I shall not be young and cannot face you leaving me.
Gabrielle, there will be only you for me all my life. And I want to grow old with you. Oh, my darling. Marry me. Marry me tonight. We'll buy the prettiest wedding gown in Paris. We'll invite the whole city to celebrate with us. We'll dance and sing and... Now, why are you crying? What is it, Gabrielle?
Oh, Claude.
Gabrielle, why are you crying?
Because you are Claude Debussy.
And I am Cabrillo. Because you are Claude Debussy and in love with all women. And I am in love only with you. Because your moment is still ahead of you. And mine has ended.
I can't understand.
Claude, look at me. What do you see?
I see the most beautiful woman in the world. Music molded into a woman. Every movement, grace. Every gesture, a melody. Eyes of mystery.
Yes. That is what you see when you look at me. But I'm not like that.
To me, you are.
Claude, listen. Listen to me. It would be so easy to marry you, so easy to give in. But if I married you, I should lose you. And if I leave you, I shall never lose you. Goodbye, Claude.
Please.
It's all over, Claude. It's all over.
Oh. The end of a reverie, and out of it two perfect things, a melody, a memory. Gabriel, how wise you were. There had been loves before you, lightly begun, lightly ended. There would be loves after you, but your voice would sing across the grave. You were a dream of youth, and as such immortal. Three other women cast their thrall upon him, three other names, with threads of melody. Lily was an aria. High, sweet, precise, a pattern. Emma was a nocturne. Warm, pulsing, exciting. And Shushu. Ah, Shushu was a princess.
Buttery,
we'll get you nowhere. Not one more bonbon. Now I must get back to the rehearsal.
Tell me the story again.
Very well. Well, last Monday, I met a certain gollywog.
Last Tuesday,
perhaps. Very well, last Tuesday. I met a certain gollywog whose name was Pierre.
Oh, no, Papa. His name was Gaston.
Gaston.
He was jumping in the garden, and he asked you to write a song for him.
So I composed a cakewalk. And I gave him 300 francs and 4 centimes and made him independent for life. And now he can go twice a week for 300 years to hear Pelléas and Millicent at every performance. Yes?
If you have a moment, we should like your opinion on the tempo of the introduction to
that. Yes, all right. I shall be right there.
Will you be all right along here, Susan?
Of course. Will you leave the door open so I can hear it?
Yes.
I'm going to be Melisande when I grow up,
yes,
you know.
Of course you are. I'll be back soon.
Could you tell me where Monsieur Debussy is?
He's in there with the orchestra. Are you a friend of his?
Well, I used to be. Are you?
I think so. Anyhow, he's my father.
Oh. Oh, I see. Yes, yes, you look like him. You have his eyes.
He's the greatest composer in the world, isn't he?
Oh, yes, yes, indeed. What are they playing?
Pelléas and Mélisande. It's an opera.
Pelléas and Mélisande. You know, many years ago, when your father was a student, he was working on that. What is he writing now? Something big?
He only writes for me now. He says he can't write big music anymore. He says he doesn't know how anymore. But I think he's only joking, don't you?
Oh, yes, he must be joking. There can't be an end to his music. Tell me, does he ever play a piece called Reverie for you?
Oh, do you know about that? Did Papa tell you the story?
What story?
He wrote that piece for a dryad, so he never plays it anymore.
For a dryad?
Papa says he used to go out in the forest every day and watch for a dryad. They live in the trees, you know. And one day, after he searched, oh, a very long time, he found one, and he fell in love with her because she was the most beautiful dryad in the whole forest. He wrote Reverie for her.
What happened to the dryad?
Oh, she ran away. No one can hold a dryad, you know. But Papa never plays the music anymore. Because it makes him feel bad, I guess.
The dryad never came back?
Oh, they never do. That might break the spell.
Oh, I see.
They must be through the rehearsal. Papa will be coming out.
I don't think I'll wait. Will you please give your father a message for me?
He'll be here in just a moment.
I can't wait. Tell him... Will you please tell him you were talking to a lady who thinks he's the greatest composer in the world? Tell him the lady said if she were a composer, she would make music of the sea. Goodbye, my dear.
Goodbye.
Hello, Opposite. Did you listen to the music?
Papa, there was the nicest lady here. What? She left a message for you.
Fine. What did she say?
She said, tell your father there was a lady here who thinks he is the greatest composer in the world.
Fine.
And that if she were a composer, she would make music of the sea.
The sea? Where is she? Where did she go?
She just left. She went out the door.
Yes.
She's gone. But Bryant always goes like that.
A phrase dropped lightly into my heart. The years were gone from me. Once again my heart sighed to an old longing. Once again, I found myself crying, Gabrielle. And so I left Paris. I went to the sea and nothing had changed. Nothing had changed. Gabrielle. You remember the sea in the last hour before nightfall. It's a full deep swell, and a tenderness that is at once fierce, possessive, and strangely gentle. There is a mist that envelops your heart, and there are slim wraiths of fog that come stepping in from the sea. Do you remember how once in other days we tramped those hard white sands, our eyes, vague and faint horizons, hand in hand, laughing at nothing, laughing at everything, full of the joy of discovery we walked all day? And once we paused to look back, and there were our footsteps, two by two, reaching from the ends of the world to my heart. But now I was alone. Now I walked alone. And overhead the gulls stiffened and wheeled and cried goodnight. And looking back, I saw only my own lonely footsteps drifting across the sands, swallowed greedily by a sea wind. Even as I watched them, the winds caught an echo and flung it against my heart.
If I leave you, I shall never lose you. Never lose
you. Gabriel, I can't lose you. Can't lose
you. Claude, you have lost me. You have lost me, Claude.
It was wrong to come back. There are too many ghosts.
Oh, Claude, look at the waves. Tell me about them. Tell me a story about the waves.
The surf, my darling, is laced from the gowns of all the women who drowned at sea. Old lace, yellow with tears, brined with memories. There's a masquerade tonight on the smooth, shallow floor of the ocean. All the best people are there, Gabrielle, dancing the minuet fathoms below.
Claude, you know such lovely stories.
Look at this handful of sand, Gabrielle. It's booty of the sea, chalices, Damascan blades, doubloons, bits of arrows that the sea has claimed and now gives back to the land. Gabrielle, Gabrielle, why did you leave me? Gabrielle, why did you leave me?
If I were a composer, I should try to make the music of the sea.
Can you write when your heart is broken? How can you think of music when an aim pulses through you?
Write me a song of the sea, Claude. Let me have it when the day
is... I could have told you that the sea was death and that one day I would walk beside it alone with the dead.
You are Claude Debussy and I am Gabrielle. Your moment... If I leave you, I will never leave you. Look at the sea, Claude. You know, such lovely...
Everything ends one day or another.
Goodbye, goodbye.
Oh, no.
But you have lost me.
You have lost me.
You have lost me.
One moment by the sea, and I knew how alone I was. One moment to cry your name and hear only echoes, and know that I would never be young again. Now it was dark. I listened to the waves. They were crying too. They were whispering secrets of the ages. I listened breathlessly. The tears dried on my face. Salt tasted in my lips.
sudden excitement surged through me. I stood alone on the brink of discovery. This was music such as I had never heard before. Music mixed and blended by a master hand. Staccato with lightning and telling with thunder. This is music from the stars, the bowels of the earth. Music that was power and vengeance, love and hate and beauty. Music that was God.
Lifetime becomes a symphony. Prologue, reverie, interlude, and now finale. Paris's feet uplifted from shell fire. Bombs are screaming as she walks beside me. Blow louder winds.
blow to a great crescendo. Rains, I call upon you. Drown out the roar of the conquerors. Make music mightier than cannon, mightier than war drums. Listen, Paris. This is French thought played across the heart of France. This is the music of eternity. Music that says you cannot conquer the centuries in a lifetime. You will never conquer Paris.
Take me in your arms gently, Paris. Lower me quietly into the earth. Let me sleep where I can hear your voice. Hear the voice of the sea. Somewhere close beside me, inscribe the legend. Claude Debussy, musician of France.
Winds blow over me. Rain, wash me clean of sorrow.
Spare me the songs of the hemispheres and the songs of free. Gabriel, France, God, they are each of one another, and I am part of all three.
You've been listening to Reverie, a representative broadcast from the proposed new series called Song Without End. The purpose of this performance, like all of those in Columbia's forecast series, is to put before you in a trial broadcast a new idea which, with your approval, may come to the air as a regular weekly feature. The welding together of great music, great drama, and great performances is the goal to be accomplished by this series called Song Without End. So if you enjoyed it and would like to hear such a series, won't you drop a card or letter to your CBS station and let us know about it? If Song Without End, through your interest, becomes a weekly series of broadcasts, you will hear the finest actors and actresses available in music dramas based on the lives of the great composers. Sibelius, Chopin, Beethoven, Foster, Rimsky-Korsakov, Bach, Gilbert and Sullivan, Wagner, Gershwin, Bizet, Ravel, a never-ending list. Our sincerest thanks to Mr. Meredith for his sensitive and compelling performance as Claude Debussy, and to Margot for her unforgettable portrait of Gabrielle, to the excellent supporting cast of radio actors and actresses, to Mr. Barlow and the 70 men under him for their inspired playing of Debussy's music, and to Jean Holloway for her poetic and imaginative script. The entire production was under the direction of William Spear. Next Monday, same time, CBS will present two more radio shows for your approval. Forecast number 7 from New York. Class of 41, a review which brings to the fore the new young talented people who hope to be the stars of tomorrow. The cast includes actors, actresses, comedians, monologists, singers, who have not until now been given the opportunity to display their merits. And they promise you a half hour of exuberant entertainment when Class of 41 hits the air. Forecast number 8 from Hollywood. Hopalong Cassidy, most famous Western adventure serial character before the American public today. The hard-riding hero of best-selling novels and favorite of millions of movie fans. Presented for the first time to the radio audience.
Until next Monday, then, at forecast time, this is Warren Sweeney speaking.
And this is John Tillman bidding you all good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.